Hello, and thank you for tuning in to this week's Not-So-Secret Guide to Being a Berkeley Engineer. My name is Laura Vogt. I'm the Associate Director of Marketing and Communications in the College of Engineering. And this week, we're going to learn more about the Jacobs Institute for Design Innovation with their Student Services and Program Manager, Amy Din. Hi, Amy. Welcome.
Hi. Thanks for having me. And hi, and welcome to everybody. Welcome to Berkeley.
Can you please tell us a little bit about yourself and your role at UC Berkeley?
Sure. So as you said, I am the Student Services and Programs Manager for Jacobs. And what that means is I am the first point of contact for students just to get oriented to the resources that we have for students to explore design and technology. So we have just a range of different ways that students get connected and involved. It's kind of an a la carte menu of resources we have. And it can be like drinking from a fire hose, like many things at Berkeley. So I'm there to serve as a friendly face and a way to get oriented to how our resources can serve your interests and your learning.
Well, again, thank you so much for joining me today. So let's jump right in with an overview of what the Jacobs Institute for Design Innovation is. Can you start with a history of the program?
Sure. So we opened in 2015, and our objective is to serve as an interdisciplinary hub for learning and making at the intersection of design and technology. So it's a long catchphrase, but to break it down, it basically means that all the resources that we have in our building, they are centered on the topic of the intersection of human-centered design and emerging technology. So that's everything from assistive technology to robotics to graphic design, anything where you're using design for technology or design of technology and so on and so forth. It also means that all of our resources are hands-on, team-based, and interdisciplinary. So when you come into Jacobs Hall or you use our resources, you're not just going to be doing problem sets or not just going to be working on your own. You're going to be engaging in these really interactive ways, which helps with learning and also we think is a lot of fun. And then we also have the resources that we offer are also, range from courses, but also events, student activities, mentorship, and we have a makerspace as well that is normally open for students to come in and use equipment and tools. So all again centered around this idea of learning and making design and technology. And the interdisciplinary part is basically just highlighting the fact that we serve students from across the campus. We actually don't have our own undergraduate major program. So everyone that we serve is coming from other departments and provides a very diverse and interdisciplinary space.
Can you tell me about the classes that Jacobs supports?
So in Jacobs Hall, you're going to find three different types of courses, but they all center around that theme of design and technology that I had mentioned. We have the design innovation courses. You'll find them listed as DES-IMV. And those are courses that we ourselves as Jacobs run. They range from introductory courses that are, aimed at freshmen and sophomores like yourself and also new transfers. And we'll cover basic skills in design, things like prototyping and fabrication or visual communication and sketching. And then you have your upper division courses that you can take as juniors and seniors. And those will be more focused on a particular topic and allow you to use your design skills to examine that topic. So things like reimagining mobility, rethinking electric vehicles. So yeah, different learning opportunities for different ranges of students. But in addition to the courses that we ourselves run, we also support other departments with our own design-oriented courses. So if you are an EECS major, you might take CS160, User Interface Design in our building. If you are mechanical engineering, you might take ME110, Introduction to Product Development in our building, because we want to support other departments and other groups who are also interested in teaching design and technology innovation. And then finally, last but not least, we have the DECALS. So those are student-run classes developed and run by your peers. And just like those other two course categories I mentioned, we want to support any courses that center on design and technology. So you can take classes like Enable Tech, which is a decal that focuses on assistive technology. You have the human-centered design decal. Basically, if you're interested in learning about these topics, Jacobs tries to be a hub of being able to find and participate in those classes, you can go to our website and just check out our fall list. Most of those courses will not be physically in the building. We will still try to be a platform to support them and let students know what they are and how to find them.
Do any of the courses that you offer have held seats for students?
Because we want to have an interdisciplinary community, we reserve seats in our courses for non-engineering students, but that means that there's another portion that's reserved for all the students in engineering. Definitely check those out if you're interested. I know, at least as of now, there's a couple seats left in our introductory courses. We also have seats held for incoming transfer students because transfer student community is very important to us and we want to make sure that you all are welcome here. And so you get the same privileges as entering freshmen in terms of having some seats held in some of our introductory courses, DESM 15 in the fall.
Excellent. Now, I know that with the changes this fall semester, it's that so many of the services are having to change that you offer. So can you tell us about any preliminary plans for going virtual this for the fall?
Yes, I'm happy to. And the entire Berkeley community has been so flexible and so adaptive with all the changes, and definitely really proud of my colleagues as well as our students for rolling with the punches. And so I'm happy to share that we are still planning to run a lot of our programs with adaptations for courses. The current plan as of us talking today is that all courses in the fall will be remote. And of course, that means that the hands-on project-based activity won't happen in the same way because we won't have access to the building or to the makerspace directly. However, they will still be courses that will give you introductions to interdisciplinary learning. They'll be team-based. They'll be making, and so far as students can make things at home and we can get materials to students. The makerspace, which normally would be open for students to come into and use, will be closed to students to enter, but we will be running a job shop model where students and staff and faculty can create designs, submit them to our staff who will then make things and then just leave them in a pickup area for students. So it won't be exactly the same as before, but we, in as much as we can, we still want to support the spirit of making, and we'll be keeping our makerspace open through this model so that you can at least design and create things, even if you yourself aren't the one printing it or like in the lab itself. So that's courses and makerspace. We also plan to still have our a lot of events. They'll just be all online, so things like our speaker events, our virtual skills workshops, we'll still be running them. They'll just be online. Student groups, I mentioned, are a really important part of our community. And although they will not be holding their meetings and their events in the building, we'll still be using our online presence as a way to promote those groups and making sure that everyone else in the broader community knows that those are happening and can access them. So yeah, all these different plans, we're still developing them and evolving them as the summer goes on, just so that we're ready to hit the ground running in the fall. And the best place to get more information about those is going to be by visiting the Jacobs website. So I will send you some links for that, Laura.
Awesome. When you talk about the student groups, is there a page on your website devoted to student groups as well?
There is, yeah. So a really good resource as a overview of what happens in Jacobs and resources for students is if you go to our main page, there's a student resources section. And then underneath that, there is a student group resources section specifically. So that is if you are a student leader and want to know what does Jacobs offer for my student org. And then there is a section called campus resources, and that is information about campus groups and student orgs that you as an individual can join. So between those two sections, you'll be able to find more information about student group activity and resources.
And I've had a couple students ask if there's a specific design major or minor at Berkeley that they can pursue.
Yeah, that's a very good question. So the short answer is there is not a design major at Berkeley, aside from the ones that the College of Environmental Design offers, which are oriented toward things like landscape architecture or architecture. There's a couple reasons for that. One is that we believe that design is a process that can be infused into any major, and we really value this idea that you don't have to be a design major to be at Jacobs. You can be a business major, you can be a cog sci major, you can be nuclear or or CE, and there's a way for you to infuse design into your learning, but there's also a way for you to make use of those resources for your own personal learning, even if it has nothing to do with your major. So that's kind of the philosophy we have for now for our undergraduate education. There are a few minors that you could look into and certificates that you could look into if you want to just have more structure to and find other courses that you can take that are oriented toward design, which I'd be happy to tell you about.
Yeah, my next thing I was going to ask you was, we're going to do a podcast later on that gets really into the specifics of the Berkeley Certificate in Design Innovation, but can you give an overview of what the certificate is and how it's part of Jacobs?
Sure, yeah. And yeah, that'll be a great podcast. I assume you'll talk to Sean for that?
Yes, that is my plan.
Great. I'll do a really quick overview before he gives the in-depth dive, but basically, the BCDI is a cross-campus collaboration. It's actually a collaboration between engineering, but also environmental design, the Haas School of Business, and Letters and Science, Arts and Humanities. And the idea is that you take four courses from an approved course list that will give that are addressing design innovation. And once you take those four courses, then you get your certificate. So there's a lot of different options and different courses you could take from that list. And many of the courses in Jacobs Hall satisfy BCDI requirements because there's a lot of overlap between what the certificate is trying to achieve and the resources that we offer. If you are interested in having more structure to the courses that you take at Jacobs Hall and also want to learn about other courses across campus that would interest you, then check out the BCDI.
What can students look forward to when it's safe to be back on campus?
Definitely the hands-on making is something that is a really, really fun and really engaging part of our community. And as I mentioned, there is still going to be hands-on making. We will encourage people and support people to make using the resources they have at home, and we'll try to get resources to students however we can. But once we're back on campus the campus reopens, we'll be able to reopen our physical makerspace again. And that is basically, in Jacobs Hall, if you can imagine with me, it's a four-story building, and it's a mix of teaching studios and makerspace. So you basically walk into the building, and then you, if you're on the first floor, you have these two rooms that are just chock full of 3D printers and laser cutters and a sewing machine and the laser cutter and a wood shop. And then you go up and down stairs, and you'll find other things like a metal shop, electronics lab, more 3D printers, interspersed with this meeting space that clubs and classes use. So I think it's a really special place to be in the sense, you can feel the energy of the building of the student makers. And it's a fun place to be that because when you walk around, you'll just see people working on something cool. You can just walk up and ask them what they're doing. People are pretty friendly in our community. So they're generally happy to share what they're doing and because they're excited about it. You can, when you walk upstairs, you might overhear a class being held about an interesting topic, run into a speaker event talking about some interesting aspect of design. You might run into a classmate or meet some new friends through a club or through just a serendipitous meeting. I think it's definitely this physical space where there's equipment, but also this chance to run into people and collaborate in person. I think it's a really special part of our community and something that we're very much looking forward to going back to full force. But we definitely are committed to preserving that spirit as much as possible, even during shelter in place.
I really like this idea that you're building this community there because it's such an important part of being an undergrad at UC Berkeley. So is there any other ways that Jacobs is fostering this community amongst our students?
Yeah, so I've mentioned this interdisciplinary culture a few times, and that is really important to us, this idea that the best way to learn and to design is to engage with people with different perspectives and backgrounds. So that is people from different majors and different colleges, but it's also people from different life experiences and different perspectives in life. So what we try to do as much as possible is make sure that no matter who you are and no matter which communities you are involved with, that you feel like you have a place at Jacobs Hall. And we are doing that through policies. So things like making sure our transfer students have some seats reserved for them, to more actively trying to make sure our speakers are representative of the broad and diverse spectrum of designers that are out there, making sure that we do outreach activities like the one I'm doing with you right now, or just doing presentations to different groups to make sure that we definitely know you're there and definitely want you to be part of our community. So yeah, it's a definitely a work in progress. We're not work in progress, but it's definitely an ongoing activity. But the fortunate thing is that our community, I think, has the culture, I think, is such that the students who come to our space embrace these ideas and actively try to enforce them as well. So it's really encouraging the culture that we already see amongst our students too.
What have been some of your favorite moments working with students at Jacobs?
Yeah, since we've been open for over 4 years now, it means that some of the students that came to us as freshmen have graduated and are now off in the world. And that's definitely been one of my favorite parts, is just meeting students when they're new and are just like, what is this space? And then seeing them graduate 4 years later, or, you know, move on to masters, seeing them in that time become leaders in their own right, mentors to other students, and seeing them contribute back to the community that they were once newcomers to. So yeah, just thinking back on like our some of our student staff who started as freshmen and then graduated with a lot of experience under the belt and having helped a lot of other students along the way. A lot of our student grant winners through this program called the Innovation Catalyst Program. It's students who have this like initial spark of an idea. We are able to give them a little funding, and then a few years later, they have a startup that they've spun out from it, or they've been able to publish papers or present at conferences. So yeah, just seeing that growth and seeing that evolution within individual students has been really rewarding.
That's got to be pretty awesome to see the successes that come from the work that they've done with you.
Yeah, yeah. And I think I also mentioned that too, because, you know, some students feel intimidated by coming into the space, and they feel like if they're not already experts at making or 3D printing, then, you know, they don't have a place at Jacobs. But, you know, everyone starts somewhere, and we're a learning institute. So the whole point of our existence is to make sure students can learn and get better at the things they're interested in.
I remember one of my favorite moments that I had there was I was at an event for Enable Tech, and someone came in and was a pre-law student and hadn't ever done anything in a makerspace or in engineering or anything like that before. And by the end of the day, they were able to make something and help create this product for someone that they hadn't had otherwise. And it was just really cool that nobody cared where they came from, what their background was. They were able to bring in this different perspective.
Yeah. And yeah, that's a great moment. And just, there's so many like that I remember too from the years. And what I like about your that memory that you have too is again this idea that design is, it's not like only people in a design major or only you know, people who have designer in their title can design. It's really like, we'll give you the tools and the mindset and to do this process, and then you can just make use of it no matter who you are. It's really empowering and inspiring in that way.
And what's the best way for students to stay up to date on what's going on in Jacobs?
Yeah, we have a couple different avenues. So we have a student mailing list, Jacobs Community, and during the school year, I will send out digests to that list about 2 or 3 times a week of just basically announcements from Jacobs, but also from our community about events, programs, jobs that would interest students interested in design and technology. There's also our social media. So we have Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. So we try to keep people updated in that way and just share you know, a lot of fun stories and updates from our community through those channels. And then finally, as I mentioned, we have a student resources section of the Jacobs website, where that's just a general overview of the different things that we have to offer. So So yeah, it kind of depends on the level of content students want to be pushed out at them versus, like, you know, they can just go to a page and just check it when they can. But those are the three main ways. And then the fourth way, of course, is just reaching out to any of us staff, like myself, my colleague Tishan, who's the student services advisor at Jacobs. And our job is to answer questions and help you out. So don't feel, don't hesitate to reach out to us if you can't figure out where to go.
And what have I not asked you about that you want to make sure that we talk about?
See, well, we did talk about this a little bit when we talked about community, but I just want to underline this idea that Jacobs is for you. So everyone listening to this podcast, we are really excited to have you at Berkeley. And we, if any of these topics that I mentioned of design, technology, interest you, then that means that there's a place for you here. So don't feel like you don't belong here. Just reach out. Stop by summer events, sign up for a mailing list, just get involved in any of the number of ways that are out there. And if you are experiencing challenges, then let us know, because that's something that we definitely want to make sure we mitigate as much as possible. And then if anyone who's listening on this is interested in getting more actively involved, then there are opportunities for that. So we have things like our student advisory board, for example, which is a volunteer position where you can just be in touch with Jacob leadership and offer your student experience and advice so we can better run our programs. Other jobs as well are available and other volunteer roles. So you can find those on our website as well. And then final thing is just if you, again, if any of these topics sound interesting to you, then there are some ways for you to learn more about it. We're going to be running a bunch of back to school activities, like a makerspace tours, some Q&A sessions, some workshops. So check our website or our social media for those. And hopefully we'll see you at those or another event later on this year.
Excellent. Well, Amy, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you. And looking forward to seeing everyone, or virtually seeing everyone in the fall, and then getting to see each other in person again sometime soon.
Thank you. And I know that the notice just came out that we're all going online completely for our fall semester, and that you've got a lot of planning and changes ahead. So I look forward to seeing how you're doing it. And I know that what you offer on a regular basis is pretty outstanding and amazing. And I can only imagine that you're going to be able to replicate that in this virtual world. So thank you for all the work that you're putting in.
Thank you. Yeah. That's the great thing about design too, is that there's always this mindset of like, what is this challenge and how can we, what is the challenge and how, what are the ways that solutions that we can develop for it? So just put our design thinking caps on.
And thank you everyone for tuning in today to the Not So Secret Guide to Being a Berkeley Engineer. And I look forward to podcasting with you next week.